This is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman. Numerous people were killed in election-related violence in Bangladesh as Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina heading for a landslide win for a third term. Violence between the ruling and opposition parties, which marred the election campaigns, carried on into Election Day despite heavy security throughout the country. There is no talk of a solution to the partial U.S. government shutdown. We get that story now from AP's Ed Donahue.
White House counselor Kellyanne Conway says President Trump isn't reaching out to Democrats. He's waiting for them to reach out to him.
Nancy Pelosi needs to come back from Hawaii. Less hula, more moolah for the DHS, Customs and Border Patrol, funding our border security.
Conway was on Fox News Sunday. Montana Democratic Senator John Tester says the president got approval already for billions in border security and has spent little of it.
Yet he needs more, yet there's no plan to go how the money is going to be spent.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Tester said the president said Mexico would pay for the wall, and to use the American taxpayer like an ATM machine is not the right way to go. Ed Donahue, Washington.
Retired U.S. Army General Stanley McChrystal blasted President Trump. Former commander of U.S. troops in Afghanistan told ABC's This Week he takes issue with Mr. Trump's decision to move about half of the U.S. forces out of Afghanistan.
I was worried about the confidence of the Afghan people, because at the end of the day, that's what determines who wins in Afghanistan. And I think we probably rocked them. We rocked them in their belief that we are allies that can be counted on.
The general also was highly critical of the president's personal character, indicating he is immoral and dishonest. This is not the first time Mr. McChrystal has slammed a sitting U.S. president. This is VOA News. Russia and Turkish foreign and defense ministers have met in Moscow discussing northern Syria as U.S. forces prepare to withdraw from Syria. We get more now from AP's Zaria Shackley.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said that much of the discussion focused on the pending U.S. withdrawal and that Russia and Turkey managed to agree on coordinating their steps in Syria to ultimately eradicate the terrorist threat. The Syrian military said it has entered the Kurdish stronghold of Manbij as part of an apparent agreement between the two sides. The Kurds are looking for new allies to protect against a threatened Turkish offensive as U.S. forces prepare to leave. I'm Zaria Shakili.
Millions of citizens in the Democratic Republic of Congo voted in a contentious, chaotic national election that has been repeatedly delayed, marred with glitches and allegations of rigging. While voting day, too, was marred with chaos, confusion, and anger, millions of people did go out and vote. Some 40 million participated in what would be, for many, the most important poll in the nation's independent history. This poll marks the nation's first opportunity at a peaceful transfer of power in almost 60 years as an independent country. Electoral authorities in Afghanistan have delayed for 3 months next year's presidential election. It will now be held on July the 20th. The unity government of incumbent President Ashraf Ghani, who intends to seek a second five-year term, has welcomed the delay, though it had previously insisted the polls should be held on time. Sunday's announcement came as officials are still struggling to tally votes cast in October's parliamentary elections, which were mired in controversy. The U.S. state of California is getting ready to say goodbye to its longtime governor, Jerry Brown. That story now from AP's Jackie Quinn.
He served a record 16 years from 1975 to 1983 and then again elected in 2011. Jerry Brown is retiring at the age of 80, well known for fighting global warming.
If we don't stop climate change, it's not going to be 110 in Imperial County. It's going to be 130.
This year, he led the state through the most devastating wildfire season in history.
Tragedy continues.
When Jerry Brown first took office, his idealism earned him the dubious nickname Governor Moonbeam. But over the years, his fiscal policies moved more to the center. In Brown's final State of the Union address last January,
never forget the bounty and the endless opportunities bestowed on this special place.
I'm Jackie Quinn.
Get more news by going to our website. You can find us at voanews.com. And we're always available on the VOA mobile app. I'm Steve Norman, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Botte in Washington. Today is Monday, December 31st, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Vote counting has begun following Sunday's presidential election in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Voting day was a successful one. There were no notable incidents, and the atmosphere was an atmosphere of peace.
Andre Alain Atundu is the spokesman for President Joseph Kabila's ruling coalition. We'll hear from reporter Abdul Rahman Dia, who is covering the DRC election. Zambia's national dialogue scheduled for this Friday has been rescheduled, and striking Zimbabwe doctors say they will remain on strike until their demands are met.
Our position remains the same, that as long as the grievances that were clearly stated by doctors have not been addressed, we only return to work when these grievances have been addressed.
Dr. Mtabisi Bebe is the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association. Libyan authorities blame weak border control for expired goods trade. And small business operators in Nigeria are celebrating this holiday season with mixed feelings. Those stories, plus Samson Omalley Sports and our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Vote counting has begun following Sunday's presidential election in the Democratic Republic of Congo. On the line from Kinshasa is Abdul Rahman Dia of VOA's French to Africa service, who is covering the Congolese election. Good morning, Abdul.
Good morning.
Thank you very much again. So what can you tell us? How was the voting on Sunday?
Well, let's just say that it depends on where you have been throughout the day in Kinshasa. If you go to Gombe, which is the downtown area, for example, the voting process was pretty smooth and things were going quite nicely, I think. And the voters did not have major issues with the voting machine. The people we have met, they were able to find their name on the list. So no major issues there. Now, let's just say that most of those people are well-educated, so they didn't have any problem with the machine. When you move into other areas of Kinshasa, like Limete, which is a Félix Tshisekedi stronghold, a lot of issues, I have to say. Some polling stations opening very late, up until 3 p.m. So people were very upset for those we have met, but they were determined to wait. And the voting was going on way beyond 5 o'clock when the poll was supposed to close.
Of course, Abdul, you are based in Kinshasa, the capital city. What do you know about how voting went in the provinces? For example, were the...
Well, someone like Martin Fayulu, one of the main contenders, have called on the press late basically to denounce the voting all over the country. It's not just Kinshasa, but he says that there were many irregularities in many parts of the country. We have also talked to the director of one of the biggest electoral commission here called Simosel. His name is Bishop Abraham Jambo. He did say that there were also issues in different parts of the country, and he was hoping that CENI, the Electoral Commission, would still work throughout the night trying to fix those issues, because he said he saw a lot of people really excited to vote after too many delays.
You said there are no violence, particularly in the Kinshasa area. The late report we are getting was that in some parts of the country, the militia group Mai Mai attacked polling stations in a place called Lubero town in the North Kivu province. What do you know about these kind of incidents coming from the countryside?
We did hear those incidents as well, and Martin Fayulu did talk about people killed in situations that were unnecessary, but he did not specify on those cases.
That was reporter Abdul Rahman Dia of VOA's French to Africa service in Kinshasa, where he is covering the Congolese presidential election. The spokesman for President Joseph Kabila's ruling Common Front for Congo coalition says as far as the ruling party is concerned, Sunday's presidential election was held in an atmosphere of peace and transparency. Andre Alain Atundu says President Joseph Kabila should be commended for organizing the vote despite what he calls intimidation from enemies of the Congolese people. He said he is not aware of any irregularities But even if there were, they will pale considering the size of the country with as many as 70,000 polling stations.
Voting day was a successful one. There were no notable incidents, and the atmosphere was an atmosphere of peace. Now we are waiting for results, and then we hope that our candidate will win, and then we are ready to form the government and to rule the country.
Mr. Atundu, some reports we are getting talked about that in some areas that voting was delayed as much as 6 hours. What happened?
Let's realize that there are almost 70,000 vote bureaus, and I think the incidents reported are less than 10. So this is not significant because it doesn't change the stream of the vote. The impression that the vote was credible and fair. Of course, there are incidents. What can I do? In what part of the world the election happens without incident, even in your country?
What happened in, say, cities like Lubumbashi, Beni? Opposition leaders are saying that some people did not vote, for example, in places like Beni and in Lubumbashi, that voting places did not open on time. They claim that this is all part of a plot by President Kabila, the ruling party, to suppress opposition supporters.
No, I can tell you that the members of Lamuka, we created some group to make pressure on the militants of the ruling party. But it was so small. It doesn't change, it doesn't change the atmosphere of victory for the people. And I think it's the time to pay a right tribute to Mr. Kabila because of his strong will to organize a fair election. He faced a lot of intimidation from enemy of the democracy and from the enemy of the Congolese people. But at the end of the day, it's the victory of the people. Because Mr. Kabila shows to the world that Congolese people are able to organize credible and peaceful election without international intervention. With this election, Mr. Kabila gives again the key of sovereignty and dignity to our people. So let's wait for the result so that we can go to another step which concerns economic development and the social mending of our population.
It's so nice to talk with you, friends. Let me say Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Andre Alain Atundu is the spokesman for DRC President Joseph Kabila's ruling coalition. He was speaking with me from the capital, Kinshasa. Today is Monday, December 31st, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 14 minutes past the hour. 500 striking Zimbabwean doctors who were suspended by the country's health service board for engaging in a strike since early this month, say they will not return to work until the government meets their demands. This comes after the state-controlled Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation reported on Sunday that the doctors were being urged to return to work by the Zimbabwe Medical Association. But Dr. Ntabisi Bebe, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, says the doctors were not part of any agreement between the Zimbabwe Medical Association and the government.
As far as we are concerned, we did not attend any meeting. The meeting that we've been invited is scheduled for tomorrow. We are also aware that there have been some reports in some sectors to put our association in a position that they've attended some meetings. But as far as we're concerned, we haven't attended any meeting today. And I, as the Secretary General of Zimbabwe Hospital Association, will be in attendance to negotiate issues to do with conditions of service among doctors and other grievances that were raised by doctors.
So you're saying, Doctor, that this report that the Health Services Board has asked you, the doctors, to return to work is not true?
We did not have any formal engagement with the Health Services Board. The only meeting that we're going to have with the Health Services Board is scheduled for tomorrow. And as of now, yes, we are aware that there have been some reports in state media encouraging us to return to work. But our position remains the same, that as long as the grievances that were clearly stated by doctors have not been addressed, we will only return to work when these grievances have been addressed.
So, doctor, let me ask you, what about the ordinary person who say you, the doctors, took oath to protect or to save human life? So why don't you make that a priority?
It's part of the priority because it doesn't make sense to ask a doctor to return to work and watch patients in Akon and very ill with no medications. It actually put more psychological stress on doctors. Hospitals don't have simple emergency equipment. Oxygen is not there. And these are issues that we're asking the government to address, not only to ask or persuade or coerce doctors to return to work. There has to be a plan to address these issues. We can't allow a situation that doctors return to work and continue working in an environment and watching patients in severe pain and very ill patients not getting the kind of medication that they're supposed to get. I feel we are putting too much burden on doctors. Those who have the mandate to address the issues should do so urgently and foster a conducive environment where doctors can discharge their services optimally.
Dr. Mtebese Bebe is the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association. You're speaking with me from the capital, Harare. It's not just illegal drugs and endangered animal parts that can slip through poorly patrolled borders. As Fifth Lapidus reports, weakened border security has allowed expired food and medicine to flow into Libya.
On just one day in December, Libyan security forces seized nearly $72,000 worth of expired food and medicine in the coastal city of Misrata. The head of the National Guard in the city said he was astonished by how many products were confiscated.
The truth is that with the current condition in the country, the extraordinary condition of the security breakdown and the insufficient border control, several unethical traders have taken advantage of the situation. The standards of most of the imported products are not up to the mark. The products are expired or contain banned coloring material, and we see these products on display at shops.
So the Libyan Office for Food Control launched an inspection campaign of all shops selling food products, detergents, or medicine. In addition to banned pharmaceuticals and expired medication, most had restricted or expired products on their shelves, including juice, soft drinks, biscuits, canned goods, and children's shampoo. The confiscated products are disposed of for public safety. Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Zambia's national political dialogue that was scheduled to take place this Friday has been rescheduled to January 18th. The dialogue is being facilitated by the Council of Churches, the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia, and the Zambia Conference of Catholic Bishops. Bishop John Mambo is one of the church leaders who will most likely be playing a role when the dialogue gets underway. He said the date has been moved back to give political parties time to prepare.
What we are gathering is that the ruling party, the Patriotic Front, the president, according to what we gather, that there will be an engagement. Therefore, they have pushed it to the 18th of January for the launch. We pray that all political parties and, of course, all of us would be in attendance because to us this is long overdue. When you look at the next election, it's in 2021, but with the country being divided and us not speaking with one voice and name callings and so forth, this dialogue is needed as of today.
Bishop, there was a pre-dialogue meeting held last week, the 28th of December. The church said that the submissions that the political leaders made were constructive and encouraging. But we don't know what were some of the submissions that, say, the Patriotic Front Party or the opposition made. Can you share some light on those?
They're saying, let us look at the Constitutional Court, of course. Now, the president of today is not happy with that. But being our president of the republic and also a leader of the major opposition party, that can be put aside within the process. The other thing is the Election Commission of Zambia. That has been brought to the table. And then also the fact that they are also addressing the issue of violence, meaning that things that the church also are agreeing with are things that if we are to address them, it will bring this thing to pass. All three arms of government have to be, you know, addressed at this gathering. In short, we are just trying to catch up with other countries where the constitution becomes the supreme law of the land.
That's Roman Catholic Bishop John Mambo. He was speaking with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. Small business operators in Nigeria are celebrating this holiday season with mixed feelings, as they are finding it hard to make profitable sales due to the challenging business environment. But it's not all gloom for everyone. Samuel Okocha reports on one market woman whose food business is thriving in spite of the hard economic times.
This man retails bed sheets and curtains in one of the open markets in Lagos. He said the increased cost of goods are keeping customers away.
The prices of tin have risen. We are not witnessing much of customers coming around. There's no customer, to be sincere. There's no customer. We've been standing here since morning.
Inflation rate is ticking up again in Nigeria, increasing marginally to 11.28% in November and driven by higher cost of food, housing and utilities. This is no cheery news for small-scale retailers catering to low-income earners this holiday season. But for Mama Blessing, a local food seller, business is thriving this holiday period.
In short, the business is so wonderful. I don't even know whether there is something that is somebody will come out for a business for the day and say, you supposing I know I wouldn't have. I always rejoice.
Cold water.
Mama Blessing is one of the few market women with no reason to complain this holiday season. As a food seller, she says the holiday has favored her with more customers because of fewer competitors.
We that sell, you will see that everybody will be at his or her shop. But when some market women, especially that sell food, many of them travel. So the ones that did not travel, those people, in short, they will even pray for those people that travel not to come back because they want to take over the market.
The story of Mama Blessing highlights how the forces of demand and supply play out to the advantage of some small businesses. But it also shows how certain commodities or services can remain in demand even in tough economic times. That's according to Professor Ndubuisi Nwokoma, who heads the Center for Economic Policy and Research at the University of Lagos.
It depends on what you sell. People will eat, no matter how costly or how much inflation goes up. There's a kind of commodities or goods that definitely, no matter what, even this inflation, people will still buy garri. People will still buy salt. So, but there's some kind of commodity that are luxury related. The demand will definitely fall significantly.
Meanwhile, Mama Blessing has this to say this holiday season.
For the year 2019, I pray good luck for everybody and I pray good luck for myself and my family.
Samuel Okocha, VOA News, Lagos, Nigeria.
It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omalley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you, James. We begin the sports with a look at the draws for the group stages of the 2018-2019 CAF Champions League, which took place this past weekend in Cairo, Egypt. In Group A, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, who were 2017 champions, are grouped alongside Mamelodi Sundowns, who took the championship in 2016. Also in the group is ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast and Lobi Stars of Nigeria. In Group B, CAF Champions League trophy holders Aspirants of Tunisia will face Horoe of Guinea, alongside Orlando Pirates of South Africa, alongside FC Platinum of Zimbabwe. In Group C, TP Mazembe of DR Congo and five-time CAF champions were placed in Group C with Club Africain of Tunisia, Debuton CS Constantine of Algeria and Ismaili of Egypt. In Group D, record eight-time champions Al Ahly of Egypt alongside 1973 winners V Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo have been grouped alongside Simba SC of Tanzania and newcomers JS Sarua of Algeria. Away from the CAF Champions League, Uganda Premier League defending champions Viper Sports Club have sacked Javier Martinez Espinoza as their head coach. Last week, Vipers exited the CAF Champions League after being beaten by Algeria side Constantine at home, relegating them to the CAF Confederations Cup. The Mexican, who had signed a two-year contract, was unveiled at the start of the Uganda Premier League. The club said a new coach will be named soon. Abdul Wasika is Vipers' spokesperson.
It's something that has been in the pipeline. Because of the way the team was being run under the coach that is leaving. So the team said, the management said that we need to make some changes. And you'll be seeing changes effective Monday before we unveil either the new head coach or a caretaker.
Elsewhere in Egypt, fans will not be allowed to attend Al Ahly's anticipated clash against Pyramids, the Egyptian Football Association announced on Sunday. Both sides face off on Friday in an adjourned league game. Pyramids are second in the league table with 30 points from 15 matches, 8 behind leader Zamalek, who played the same number of games, while Al Ahly lies 6th with 24 points from 12 matches. The Egyptian Football Association did not provide any reason for the decision. And ahead of the 2019 World University Games, the Association of Ugandan University Sports will begin preparations for the World Games in January. The 2019 World University Game will take place in July 2019 in the Italian city of Napoli, which will host all of the games. Patrick Sebuliba is the General Secretary of the Association of Ugandan University Sports.
I think we're number one in Africa. The last games in Taiwan and in Korea. So we want to maintain that level.
And that's it for the last edition of Daybreak Africa Sports for the year 2018. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington. And a happy new year to all of you.
And thank you, Samson. And a happy new year to you, too. We see you soon after the new year. And briefly, before we leave, a summary of Africa news. Vote counting has begun following Sunday's presidential election in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Meanwhile, the spokesman for President Joseph Kabila's ruling Common Front for Congo coalition said as far as the ruling party is concerned, Sunday's presidential election was held in an atmosphere of peace and transparency. André Alain Atundu says President Kabila should be commended for organizing the vote, despite what he calls intimidation from enemies of the Congolese people. He said he's not aware of any irregularities, but even if there were, they would pale considering the size of the country. And that's it for this Monday, December 31st edition of Daybreak Africa. We invite you to join us again tomorrow for more African news and features right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. On behalf of the Daybreak.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in for a thrilling ride through some of Africa's greatest hits from 2018. Get fresh news from the continent on what's trending right now.
It is the dance of the century. Everybody is dancing to it. And there would have been no Shaku Shaku dance without this song, Let That Bear, coming from Mr. Real.
And meet vocalist Gino Sitson, who joins me in the studio with brand new music coming out in 2019.
Bilam is a love song. Bilam means Imedumba, one of the numerous Bamileke languages from West Cameroon. It means follow me.
Don't miss it! Music Time in Africa, this Sunday, 15:05 and 20:05 UTC.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.